Nearly 150 young people from across the country are on the University of Arkansas campus this week for a summit devoted to issues surrounding agriculture and native populations. The fourth annual Native Youth in Food and Agricultural Leadership Summit began yesterday with students representing 76 tribes and native populations from Hawaii and Alaska. The summit is hosted by the University of Arkansas School of Law, specifically the school's Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative. Janie Sims Hipp is the director of the initiative. She returned to the University of Arkansas in 2013 after spending nearly 7 years at the United States Department of Agriculture. She says the students participating in the summit come from many different places and backgrounds and will be able to learn about seed preservation, ethnobotany, the importance of traditional foods, legal issues in Indian country, and much more.
We also give them a healthy dose of financial issues as they relate to food production. We have some intense classroom training around business planning and market development planning, understanding the risks associated with growing food and marketing food and providing food to your communities. But what's often lost, I think, in an understanding of Native peoples in this country is that we've been engaged in food production well before any European contact that occurred, you know, centuries ago. And the food production here has been well established among the Native peoples who existed here before that European contact. And so when we say things like traditional foods, some of those foods go all the way back to well before written history. And so the depth of culture and traditions around those foods are so profound that it can be, you know, sometimes a little overwhelming to people who've never thought about our foods in the U.S. or in the world in this way.
It's interesting because you'll potentially could have students here who are, I don't know, from Sitka, Alaska, Quapaw, Oklahoma, Tucson, or Hilo, Hawaii. So I imagine there are many things that wherever the students are from, they have in common. But then there are some things that, because you're talking about a wide geographical area, that are perhaps unique to where they're from.
Exactly. And what we actually have parents who call us sometimes and say, are you going to teach our children how to produce food? You know, my response to that is always there are a lot of other issues related to food and agriculture production that can best be taught at home. You all know as well as I do that every place in the United States is a different growing zone and geographic region. The soils are different. The water's different in terms of availability and frequency. The weather is different. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to try to teach, you know, students from 71 different tribes how to, quote unquote, grow food. That's really something they need to learn at home. But there are some commonalities that we believe are very important for young people to understand as they build their careers around food and you know, being what I call the food people within their communities, because we have a strong need in Indian country for, you know, folks who are the next generation of ethnobotanists, who are the next generation of hydrologists or horticulturalists or whatever, you know, or agricultural engineers, or, you know, pick a profession, because ag economists, for instance, or market economists. We have a need across the full spectrum because tribes are investing in food production in all shapes and sizes and varieties within their communities. And so the need for, I call it a strong bench of professional knowledge and young people who literally get their passion identified early and then just stay with it and become the next generation leaders in food and agriculture are extremely important.
Yeah, I mean, food insecurity doesn't, you know, stop where Indian populations live. It's a national, regional, and local issue.
It truly is, and I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, the reality is that for many, far too long, tribes have really, and many tribal communities have had very significant challenges in food insecurity. When I was back at USDA, I actually asked the Economic Research Service at USDA to run the numbers for run the numbers to determine how much of Indian country, and that's a federal term, and it has a federal terminology, it has a legal meaning in the law, but how much of Indian country was considered to be a food desert under that federal definition. And I was not really surprised, but I did see, and they provided me the evidence then, that literally all of Indian country is a food desert. And so what that means generally is that all of those locations are suffering really some significant challenges in access to food, access to healthy food, access to grocery stores, and in some cases even access to a convenience store. I mean, some reservations have one convenience store that services the size of a small state, and that is the only food source. And so we just cannot be in a place any longer where those are our statistics. The other piece of the puzzle that people don't really have a full knowledge of is that agriculture production is occurring in Indian country, and it has been for quite some time. The agricultural census, which is taken every 5 years, has identified a high number of American Indian Alaska Native farms and ranches, but the problem is a lot of those foods leave the community. And so you literally are living in an agriculture community, but the food is all going somewhere else, and it's having difficulty getting back.
There are guest lecturers, there are classroom work, but there's also field trips, hands-on learning.
One of our field trips, we're going to spend most of a full day with the Quapaw Tribe of Oklahoma, which are in the far northeast, for some of your listeners may not know. Their original homelands were in Arkansas. The Quapaw are doing some amazing things. They have really been focusing heavily on building out a cattle herd, a bison herd. They have a growing number of greenhouses, a growing number of apiaries. Every time you go and talk to them, they're starting a new project with regard to food and agriculture. What we've noticed is, you know, we need the classroom education. We need that kind of, I will say, hardcore training in the classroom. We need that, but we also need the experiential learning and just doing things on the ground. But we also need to learn from each other and being able to have sort of a varied exposure to the options that are available for having a meaningful life and career in food and agriculture is really such an important thing to share with young people.
Janie Sims Hip is the director of the Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative at the University of Arkansas School of Law. The initiative is leading the 4th annual Native Youth in Food and Agriculture Leadership Summit that began yesterday. Nearly 150 students from 76 Native tribes and Hawaiian and Alaskan Native populations are participating in the summit that lasts through June 25th.